Welcome to Simple Wins, the show where we talk to the architects behind the most successful B2B firms. And we're currently in the middle of a massive project curating the 2026 B2B benchmark. We're looking for the high-level strategies that actually work in today's market. And I knew I had to get Jason Clark on the mic to help us set that standard. Former agency owner who merged his company with a larger digital service firm and rebranded them as Tectonic. Now CMO, providing strategic guidance internally and for international brands. Jason, a big welcome to the show. So excited to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. Let's do this.
Absolutely. So Jason, you've recently navigated this massive transition, merging your business and rebranding to Tectonic. How did it feel to take your own team through that process?
It was both exciting and nerve-wracking. A lot of people value stability in their careers. So, you know, there was a lot of work behind the scenes. There was about a year of work just between the letter of intent all the way to signing the paperwork on the merger that I couldn't talk about with my team. So it was exciting for me. I had owned the agency for 21 years and, you know, was ready for a change and ready to kind of take the business to the next level. But I also didn't want anyone to feel the disruption of having a new ownership and that kind of thing. You know, you see a lot of mergers and acquisitions not go so well. So it was equal parts excitement and stress.
100%. And one thing that I'm thinking, and maybe even one of the reasons that you did get acquired, like one of the reasons that you are different than many other brands, is something I heard you say on a previous podcast. You were talking about how a great brand should make it as easy for someone to say no to you as it is to say yes. And I'm so curious to hear your take on this and to really go deep into this.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. Anyone that owns a business, especially a services business, that, you know, we do projects that cost a lot of money, right? Like we've done many 6- and 7-figure web development projects and branding projects. And it is the long tail of that sales process can take months, especially for somebody making a big decision. So when you've been working with an organization for 3 or 4 months, trying to put together a scope of work for them and land on a budget, and then they politely decline or they just ghost you, you've just wasted months of your life and months of being able to try to, you know, grow your company and take on other business. So the more transparent, honest, having a perspective in your company, having processes that you believe in and rely on, I want someone to say no as quickly as I want them to say yes. That is very important to me. Again, anybody involved in sales can empathize with me how much of a bummer it is to have, like, just be on the very tip. You know, I think of it, those little coin machines that you put a quarter in and it just pushes all those other coins, and you can only put so many coins in before it doesn't tip over and you just give up. So I think good branding, again, you have to have a perspective. You have to mean something to someone, which also means you have to not mean as much to someone else. And if you can connect that way, again, it's easier to say yes. If you can tell somebody your perspective and how you operate and make it easy for them to politely decline, that's great too. Again, don't waste my time. I'm busy.
Absolutely. So what you're really saying is it's really important to focus your messaging on who you do want, but it's also really important to message on who you don't want as well. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is, I mean, it even goes so far into, you know, I've had a couple prospects that I'm working with this year and they, you know, they've asked me, hey, do you want to come in and pitch? You know, we're bringing in 3 agencies to pitch, you know, your ideas. I'm like, well, I don't, you know, you pay for our ideas. We don't pitch them. And also, I would rather get to know you and dig into the meat and potatoes of what you really think you need rather than give you the dog and pony show, which is, you know, it's just the, it's not as substantial. And again, don't waste my time. So I'll do it and I'll happily do it, but I also need you to be able to make a decision quickly if we're going to go through this process.
Absolutely. And I think one of the most important things, at least from what I've seen from companies, is getting the entire team on the same page, right? I think that's very hard for people to do. Can you kind of walk through your process to really make sure that the team itself is aligned on that mission?
Sure. I have become a believer, and I have fallen in love with project briefs. That is kind of my job, is to understand a client or a prospect and their goals and priorities, and to articulate that in a way that they understand and my team understands, right? Because once they sign and they move off, the client's going to see me a lot less, right? Like I'm on the front end of this. I have to believe in the team and they have to believe in me. That's the bridge that I build between the sales process and the execution process, is that brief. So the better I can help define their goals and priorities, the better that I can help somebody understand their timeline, the more empathy I have on both sides, then I can write something that is something that we can execute on, but also everyone understands and believes in. And if you can't write a good project brief, then there's a real danger that the expectations are misaligned and someone's overpromising. Might be me, might be our team, might be the client. But if you can't get onto the same page with a good project brief, then there could be danger ahead.
Absolutely. And I know one thing that happens, especially when we're going through a rebrand, for example, lots of companies will go through a rebrand and they're trying to figure out, okay, how do I communicate this to my audience? I think one of the questions that you'll probably see from a lot of business owners is, okay, when we're going through this rebrand, how do we actually communicate that to our pre-existing audience, right? Because you don't necessarily want to shut down that pre-existing audience unless they're really not a good fit. So how do you go about the communication process there?
I will tell you with a lot of confidence that your existing audience is already bound to your brand. If you take the identity piece and the positioning piece, they've internalized that already. So a rebrand for them doesn't mean as much as it means for the audience that you are positioning yourself to go after. So I think a lot of people get nervous or risk averse being tied up in a big brand that you know you need for your new audience, but like, gosh, what are our clients and our, maybe even our staff going to think about this? I will say after a couple of weeks, it's they don't even think about it anymore, So we actually just signed a huge client last year, that international organization. They essentially are the holding company for lots of other brands, and we're moving in the process of moving about 50 of their websites into our hosting and maintenance environment. And so they're new. They don't really know us that well. And just this month, we're having a lot of kickoff meetings with the brand managers responsible for those websites. And our client contact is very much like you'll hear Via Studio and you'll hear Tectonic, and they're the same company. And you've got maybe 2 to 5 minutes of articulating why, and then it's like it's no big deal. So again, I think a lot of people have a risk averseness and an inbound nervousness of, what are people going to think, which really it disappears after a while. So you have to be bold and you have to be confident and you have to be moving your organization forward with less fear. And that's kind of my life now, and I love it.
That's amazing. And did you notice, especially when you went ahead and did the merger, did you notice that, because you were talking about how people are already attached to your brand, are you referring to more of your personal brand there, that people are attached to the personal brand, or are they more attached to the company brand?
It's the company brand, but a brand is not your logo. A brand is not your website. Your brand is, I always like to say your brand is your personality, right? Like if you think of a person, their identity is the clothes they wear, how they wear their hair, what kind of hats they wear, right? Like what kind of personal hygiene you have. That's your identity. Your brand, you can think of it as your personality, right? So a lot of people dress in a way that they want to be perceived. Companies identify themselves in a way they want to be perceived. So the closer that those are aligned, the easier it is for people to just kind of get on with it, right? Like if I've known you for 20 years, I could care less if you grow your hair long or you start wearing turtlenecks, right? Like that's your identity. But I know you as a person. So a company is the same way, right? You win trust, you win, you know, ambassadorship and that kind of thing from your audience. If you are true to your values and you're consistent, that's your brand. Your brand isn't what your website says. That's your identity.
I love that. And when you talk about the values, when you talk about that thing that's really connecting, so obviously you're talking about personality and things like that. But what is the element that you've seen that is, if you had to pick one, what is the one most important element that keeps somebody loyal to that brand?
Expectation setting. Right? Like it is inevitable. We are humans. We will make mistakes, right? So if, you know, I guess an easy one is maybe website hosting, right? It's like, okay, Cloudflare's down. Half the internet on the Eastern Seaboard is going down or is throttled. So getting ahead of it and setting expectations, right? Sending an email or pinging your biggest client saying, hey, like you're going to notice this. It's a problem with the entire internet on the East Coast. We're doing our best here, but just so you know, you'll see a lag, right? So the kind of proactiveness and expectation setting, or maybe even like you've got a delay in a project, right? It's like, oh my God, like so-and-so left the company and it's going to take us a few extra weeks to move this project forward. I've seen people that want to hide that and obfuscate those like very human situations that we get into. And that's when you get into trouble. That's when people lose trust in you, is when you're not honest and transparent there, right? Like we've lost such good people going off to better opportunities, right? There's a really good friend of mine that used to work for us. And now he works as a product manager in the AI division at Google. Like I'm not going to feel bad that he graduated from my company and is now working on some of the most innovative stuff in the industry, right? I'm going to be proud of that. So, but letting your clients know is like, hey, so-and-so's, you know, they're going off to a different opportunity. So we've planned for that. We've got processes and SOPs in place to mitigate that. But also you're going to see a little bit of, you might see a couple hiccups. Bear with us. There's no reason not to be honest there.
I love that. And what type of communication do you typically do with your clients? Do you do weekly check-ins, monthly check-ins, hourly? Like how often are you communicating with the client? If you say hourly, that's impressive.
It depends on the size of the client. You know, we grew up scrappy, so we've still got clients that have, we check in with them yearly and they've, you know, they maybe have 30 hours worth of billable work with us a year. So that's not a check-in that happens. The most important part is that the cadence is on a regular basis. So we've got clients that we check in with weekly. We've got clients that are monthly, clients that are quarterly, but all of those are, you know, in our project management system. Our account managers know how important it is to do those check-ins. That's part of their regular schedule and it happens. So to kind of mitigate the human factor of people forgetting things and people getting distracted with other types of work, you have to put those processes in place. Like you might be a couple of days late getting this done, but it has to get done. If it is on your list, it is a requirement.
I love that. Jason, where can people go to learn more about you?
I would say LinkedIn's probably the best place. C Jason Clark, the letter C, Charlie Jason Clark. You can find me there. You can go to our website at teamtectonic.com, and I'm on other places on the internet, but not nearly as much as I used to, thank God. So yeah.
That's amazing. Jason, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you coming out.
Yeah, thanks. That was fun. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening, and make sure to go check out Jason's website. Go give him a look, because seriously, what he's doing on the branding side is pretty interesting. You'll probably learn a few things as well. So, all right. Thank you, everyone. I will see you guys on the next episode. Bye now.